Okay. Good morning and welcome to our Centralia Unity Center for Positive Living. I'm happy the snow is melting. Makes it a lot easier to get around. The way the lighting was on a little tree that's in the front of my house that kind of planted itself there, the way the lighting was, I thought it snowed again, and I'm like, oh no, but then that was an illusion. So my name is Gail, and some of you know I live in the Lincoln Creek Valley, and those of us who are local say Crick. I know it's not like proper English, but that's how I grew up saying it. So anyway, I would like to move on with reading from the Daily Word for today, which is about believe. I believe. The Gospels poignantly communicate a father's pain and frustration when Jesus reminded him that all things are possible for one who believes. The father's son suffered from a serious illness that no one, not even Jesus' disciples, had been able to cure. I believe, help my unbelief, the father cried. His son was healed. My journey of faith may not always be straight and smooth. I may at times reach the limit of my human ability to believe. In those moments, I surrender to the divine presence within me. Affirming I believe opens my mind and heart to the faith expressed in the life and ministry of Jesus. Through divine presence, the Christ in me, I believe and find the answers to my prayer. From Mark 9:24, immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Let us remain seated while we sing Surely the Presence.
Thank you. right. Good to greet you.
Are there other announcements that people
have lost her key?
Oh, Bummer. That's what happened.
I'll give you one Hildy to give her.
Okay. Okay. All right. Are there any announcements, though? I think we're not doing our Tuesday reading group for a little while until we get situated on a new book and maybe it gets warmer. I am still busy myself with a long-term sub position while the woman who has that position is doing her student teaching. So it's a very interesting experience. I'm with an autistic boy, and he also has echolalia. And Friday he said, "Please don't beat me." I'm like, I didn't even touch him. And when we were going to music class, he said, "Let's rumble." Yes, let's rumble. I like that a lot better. So, you never know what will come out. So, also in our program is our unity statement. Let's say that together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Our song of joy, which is number 331? 331. 331? Okay. And yes, please do stand with us.
Choices for reading today, and one was the Four Agreements. I found some things in there, but then I opened up the Teachings of Abraham by Esther and Jerry Hicks, who I know a lot of you are familiar with, and I found this little meditation and short passage about that, so I'd like to read that. And it starts out, as you listen and breathe, with every day that passes, your alignment with well-being will become stronger. As you acknowledge these words in an atmosphere of no resistance, you will fuel clarity and vitality and well-being. And then it goes on, it's very page and a half here. In the same way that endurance of negative emotions was a gradual process that eventually resulted in a tipping point that brought about noticeable evidence of resistance in the form of an unwanted physical condition and thoughts, your process of releasing this resistance will be gradual as well. Our daily meditation process will help you release resistance a little more every day until you will experience a vibrational tipping point back into alignment with source energy. Suddenly, It will feel as if a veil has been lifted, allowing a clear view of things that are not apparent, that were not apparent to you before. You will feel clarity, sureness, and confidence and knowing, instead of any awkward confusion and uncertainty that will be there. And soon after you are aware of this profound emotional shift, improved manifestations of all manner will become apparent to you. Once there, you may find yourself wondering why you were so willing to tolerate self-inflicted separation from well-being for so long. But we want you to gently remind yourself of this very important thing. Until your vibration shifted, you did not have access to those improved thoughts and those improved feelings or those improved conditions. So even as more conditions of your physical life improve and you find more pleasing manifestations to focus on, it is our powerful encouragement that you continue this daily process of quieting your mind and focusing upon your breathing to allow the continual returning of your frequencies into the well-being of your source. So then, as you are romping through life and coming across situations that previously contributed to the gradual muting of well-being, you'll be adjusting your vibration on a daily basis and maintaining your alignment with the energy of your source and with the energy of thriving.
Thank you, Penny. Our meditation song follows this, for which you may remain seated. You'll find that on page 16.
I am growing more prosperous
with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. Let's do our traditional Lord's Prayer today. It will be found on the front cover of your songbook. Together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Speaker who has been sharing his wisdom with us for over 10 years on the third Sunday of the month. He tells us stories that relate oftentimes to Bible lessons. He quotes scripture in the middle of the stories, talks about birds and deer and beavers and many of God's creatures. So let us welcome this morning our good friend, Grandfather.
Glahalia.
Glahalia.
What a joy to be back home with you again this morning. My message to you today for a title would be, Why does the North Star always stand still? Now, I'm not going to try and give you an answer to that question in a scientific, intellectual way of trying to determine why the North Star stands still. I'm just coming as an old grandfather Indian storyteller and tell you an Indian legend that tells why the North Star stands still. This legend comes from the Alaskan natives. Before I start the legend, I might give a few words that kind of help set for understanding this strange story. When you look into the sky and see the stars at night, many times out of other ancient traditions, like the Greek tradition and other cultures, as well as the Indian cultures, you see this constellation and it looks like a dog. And another one, it looks like a cow or a horse or a fish or an eagle. Now, well, many of those old traditions never saw a buffalo, but in the Indian, they see some constellations, they see a constellation that looks like the buffalo. Animals in the heavens, as animals on the earth. Oh, we got as above, so below. The reverses of it all. As you look into the sky, You'll see if you sit there during the nighttime, maybe you're out in the campground where you're out in the open all night long, and maybe you've got the campfire going, and you see if that constellation keeps moving, like the sun and the moon move around. And so the cow constellation, the horse constellation, the buffalo constellation, the dog, you know, even the eagle flying, they leave their trail going across the sky. They're always in movement, except for the North Star. They never move. It stays. With that kind of an introduction to the story, now we'll begin with the Alaskan Native legend. Once in a long ago time, as the story goes, there were mountain sheep. Now, as I tell this legend, you think, well, we call them mountain goats down here, but up there they call them mountain sheep. And they lived up in the mountains, and they loved to climb the steep, rocky cliffs. Now, that sounds like mountain goats here, doesn't it? And so there was the one mountain sheep, his name was Ganna, his son Bishone. Bishone, his son, was a young mountain sheep and seemed to be better at climbing the steep rocky cliffs than any of the other young mountain sheep. He could climb higher than any of the others could climb. Ganna, his father, was so proud of him. He made great ceremonial earrings to hang to show his son's dignity. And his son would climb higher than all the others. Well, there was this high mountain peak. And so Bishone, he decided that he wanted to climb all the way to the very top of that high mountain. He began to climb. He climbed as high as the other young mountain sheep could climb, but he climbed higher, higher than any of the others could make it. But then he got to places where it was very difficult. He couldn't climb any higher, but he was determined to get to the top of that mountain. So he circled round and around and around and around that mountain, trying to find a trail. He'd find one that would go just a little bit, but not very far, and then he was stuck and couldn't go any further. Round and around and around that mountain. But finally, he saw a crack in the cliff, stones of the cliff. It was just wide enough that he could squeeze through. He found he was in a cave. As he wandered in that cave, he found that he could climb a little higher, a little higher. He kept climbing, but things got kind of rough for him because it got the farther they went, the darker it got, the more difficult it was to see. And also, as he climbed higher and higher, there were a lot of loose rocks. And all of a sudden, he'd step on one thing, and there was a good shelf to step on, but they went rolling down, 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 far below. You hear it hit the floor of the cave down far below. There were so many of those that fell, and he finally came to the place where he couldn't go any further. Well, he decided, maybe I better go back down to the bottom and try and find another trail up here. He went back down, but then he found that there were so many rocks that had gone down that it closed off the entrance, and he couldn't get out. So he went back to where he had been, and he was very, very insistent, and he continued to climb and climb, loosening rocks, and finally he saw a small glitter of light. Oh, that's an opening. He finally made it up there, and he stepped out, and next thing he took one step, and he was on the top peak of the mountain. It was a sharp peak. He couldn't step one way or the other without stepping off of the peak. He stood there. His father, Ganna, down below, was missing his son. He kept calling out and shouting in a loud voice. His son could hear him from way up there on that peak. He hollered, "I'm up here, Dad. I'm on the top of the mountain." Oh, and his father looked at him and could see that never be able to get down from up there. He'd be up there until he dies. So he had him changed into a star, which you know as the North Star. And he's been there ever since. Now, a lot of those other constellations that are up there, the buffalo constellation, the horse constellation, the dog constellation, the fish constellation, the eagle constellation, the Indian teaching is that they were all animals here that became stars. But him now as the North Star, you probably are looking at me and saying, "Your grandfather, now where in this wide world are you going to see Christianity in this? Where are you going to see the Bible in that weird story?" Well, he got the North Star there that never moves, stays in that one spot, always the same. Reminded me of the Bible's teachings. It says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, now, there with the Indian is the North Star. But then the Bible speaks of Jesus as the bright morning star, another star. So, did Jesus climb a mountain? Did he climb a mountain? He was so successful in reaching the peak that today, the largest following of any worldwide religion is Christianity. They follow him as he led them to the top of the mountain. Are you climbing your mountain? Well, it's interesting. Now, as he was climbing the mountain, that mountain shape, he ran into all kinds of challenges. Did Jesus run into challenges? Oh, how about a few of those? Let's take the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were constantly challenging him, saying, "It is written," and they quote scripture. Oh, that was a challenge. Now, can he make one step higher on the cliff than they went? Yeah. And he would say, "It is also written." Yeah. And he made another step higher on his mountain. Well, how about another one? How about his 40 days and 40 nights of temptation and the wandering in the wilderness, fasting and worshiping God there in the wilderness? Did he face some slippery hillside? Well, he could have fallen, but he didn't. He made it up through all of those, higher on his mountain. Another challenge. How about the challenge of Lazarus? Oh, when Jesus finally got there, his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, they were kind of upset with Jesus. "Master, if you'd have been here a few days earlier, you might be able to heal him. Now he's been dead for 3 days, and by now his body stinketh." Now that's quite a challenge. Now I really see you on a steep hill, rocky hillside, trying to climb. But he did. I can see, the Bible doesn't say this, but I can see he just smiled at him and said, "Follow me." They went to the tomb, and then he hollered out, "Lazarus, come forth!" Lazarus came out still wrapped in his grave clothes. He got higher on his mountain. He just kept climbing higher and higher on his mountain. Oh, one thing I didn't mention to you, that North Star, there are other constellations, and some of these animal figures that went up there, now you call them the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. Well, anyway, Jesus, he is the one that is in the Bible story, as I see it, telling the same story, but in a Christian way. My question is, are you climbing your mountain? Have you come to places where the rocks are falling down? You're feeling this slippery going for you right now? behind me. Don't give up. Don't become depressed with the lack of success. That top of the mountain is there for you still. For as the scripture says, and I come back to the Bible again, it says, Jesus left us an example that we should walk in his steps. May it be so. Relax. Breathe deep. Relax. Find yourself at the very center of your being. Where are you on the mountain that you are climbing? What are the challenges that you are facing? Remember at this point, as you face those challenges, the scriptures reading where it says, God will not allow anything to come upon you without also giving a way of escape. Keep climbing your mountain. Hold fast to God's promises. And he says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Believe in God, God's omnipotent power, God's marvelous, awesome grace, his love for you. Keep climbing. Sense the glory that you're going to feel as you walk into the very presence of our Lord and Savior, as you step on the top of your mountain and join with him in oneness. Remember where Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Feel your oneness with the Christ Spirit that's within you. Return to the presence of this sanctuary with a rejoicing heart.
Friday, it was time to believe for sure. I was driving home between 8:30 and 9:30, huge snowflakes falling when there was already some accumulation, and the closer I got to home, the more challenging it became. Oh my goodness, I was never so glad to get home. And my number one son was a little doubtful, so here he was coming after me. You never know. It's okay. I made it fun. So anyway, it is time for our offering. There are two containers coming around. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say that together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Good morning. blessing and thanks together, also found in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. If you would now like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
May I give a special request?
Yes.
More than just giving a name. My wife's mother is 98 years of age. A few weeks ago, she was inside her attached garage and she fell on the concrete floor. No one discovered her. For 19 hours she laid on that concrete floor. She's been in the hospital now for some time, but she wasn't dead. She's still alive, and now she's been removed to a rehabilitation center. My wife had been up there the last about 2 or 3 weeks with her, and I just asked for prayers for both of them. Thank you.
My brothers and sisters on the front,
are there others? Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Our prayer of protection, you'll find that in two places, in the program or on the wall. Let's say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.
All is well.
I'd like to thank Deb for being our greeter, Penny our reader, and Joyce for our music. So let's stand and form a circle for our peace song, and then we can join together again to enjoy food downstairs. That's
it. I guess we're going to find out.
Let me be the sun. Yes, he is.